Good morning. This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. The non-aggression agreement the two Koreas signed only yesterday could be blown out of the water by an explosive political issue. John McClain reports from Seoul.
The agreement signed by the two Koreas is meant to end their Cold War confrontation, but it ignores the main obstacle to ending that confrontation, the possibility of North Korea becoming a nuclear power. Now, South Korea's national news agency reports that the South will refuse to ratify the agreement unless North Korea abandons its alleged efforts to build the bomb. A South Korean government spokesman refused to say how the South would react if the nuclear question was not settled. But delaying ratification of the North-South Accord would be an obvious tactic. The North is suffering from its international isolation and desperately needs to be able to present the agreement to the outside world as evidence that it's changing its Cold War ways. John McClain for CBS News, Seoul.
He's 79 and homeless, but former East German Communist Party boss Erich Honecker has an offer of temporary refuge. Bill Gasparini in Moscow has the latest.
Honecker's fate now involves diplomatic negotiations among four countries. The former East German leader is still holed up inside the residence of the Chilean ambassador in Moscow, trying to avoid extradition to Germany to stand trial. He's wanted there on manslaughter charges for the shoot-to-kill policy at the Berlin Wall. Honecker sought permission to go to Chile, where his daughter lives, but Chilean officials say they won't grant him asylum. Now, North Korea has agreed to let Honecker travel there to receive medical treatment. But German authorities say Boris Yeltsin's government has assured them he won't be allowed to go to any third country. The Russian government clearly wants to avoid straining relations with Germany, and with Honecker's fate in Russia's hands, the search for a diplomatic solution continues. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Moscow.
Secretary of State Baker leaves for the Soviet Union tonight to see for himself how Boris Yeltsin's new Commonwealth is shaping up as a replacement for Mikhail Gorbachev's fast-fading Soviet Union. The U.S. has a hands-off attitude toward the Soviet political makeover, but hopes the hands that control the Soviet nuclear button will be steady ones. Jonathan Sanders in Moscow has more on the Soviet military.
Minister of Defense Yevgeny Shapochnikov insists the military follow the chain of command that begins in Moscow. The defense chief told reporters late last night that the military everywhere on the territory of the former Soviet Union must obey the old central authorities, at least for now. Shapochnikov was responding to Ukrainian President Leonid Kravchuk, who earlier this week declared himself commander-in-chief of all military forces on Ukrainian territory, except those controlling nuclear weapons. So far today, the Ukrainians have not responded to Shapochnikov's remarks. Boris Yeltsin has. This morning, Yeltsin told the newspaper Trut that one of the virtues of the new Commonwealth system was that it prevents the disintegration of the army along Republican lines. Right now, the defense chief and Yeltsin seem to be on the same side. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
The government in Hanoi cooperating in the American MIA investigation. A delegation that left from Hong Kong is making the first formal visit to Vietnam by any U.S. business group since the end of the war in 1975. Humphrey Hawksley reports.
Washington still includes Vietnam in its Trading with the Enemy Act. Americans who do business there are technically breaking the law. Since the end of hostilities in April 1975, the United States has maintained an aid-in-trade embargo against Hanoi. But that policy is coming under increasing condemnation from American businessmen, who in recent years have seen competitors from Europe and Asia snap up bargains in a country keen to bring in foreign investment and develop. Now, the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong has managed to get permission from Washington to take a delegation there, in what's seen largely as a symbolic trip. The Chamber's president, Warren Williams, a former Green Beret who served in Vietnam, described the visit as a major step in the direction of lifting the economic embargo and of resuming diplomatic ties between the United States and Vietnam. Humphrey Hawksley for CBS News, Hong Kong.
Trade with Mexico is up for discussion at Camp David, where President Carlos Salinas de Gortari is a weekend guest. Mark Noller at the White House.
At the top of the U.S.-Mexican agenda today is the North American Free Trade Agreement. President Salinas wants to wrap up negotiations quickly on the pact that would stitch together the economies of the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. But American opponents say it would push many American jobs south of the border. It could be a touchy election year issue, and U.S. Trade Representative Carla Hills concedes the administration is leaving itself a political escape hatch.
President Bush would like to complete the agreement as rapidly as possible so as to harvest the gains for the American people, but he is not going to push speed over substance.
But Hills calls the treaty good public policy, which she says is good politics. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Sales are down again, but the auto industry may have spotted an early signpost on the road to recovery. Rob Maher reports from CBS radio station WWJ.
Domestic car and truck sales for early December indicate that consumer confidence continues to lag. New car deliveries are the second lowest in auto industry history. However, light truck sales, while down 6.9% from last year, they show some signs of rebounding. It's the third straight 10-day period in which truck deliveries have been near 40% of the market. Historically, small businesses, particularly those involved in new home construction, lead vehicle sales out of a down market. Auto industry executives say the relative strength of the pickup and minivan market could signal a real sales recovery. Since light truck sales are normally 4 to 6 months ahead of passenger car purchases, they are looking for a healthier overall market late in the second quarter of 1992. Rob Maher for CBS News, Detroit.
A National Academy of Sciences study funded by the government and the auto and oil industries claims that government efforts to control smog over the past 20 years were based on flawed information and focused on the wrong pollutants. Terry Yossi of the American Petroleum Institute and Oil Company Trade Group says the result is that higher prices for cleaner cars, gasoline, and factories won't accomplish much.
Our policymakers at the federal level and at the state level should rearrange their priorities such that when they do require industry and when they do require consumers to reduce pollution, they ought to require us to do things that work and that we ought to do the things that are cheapest first.
Federal officials at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba reportedly have found a high incidence of AIDS virus infection among Haitian refugees cleared for permission to apply for asylum in this country. The New York Times says this could delay or prevent them from entering the U.S. From the Deep South to New England, thousands of calls on toll-free 800 numbers could not get through last night. AT&T blames a problem with computer software that was being installed to identify and transfer long-distance calls. The outage lasted about 90 minutes. The time now, 10 minutes past the hour.